Our study tonight is out of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 and 6 and 7, God's personal life qualifications for local church elders. God's plan for the local church involves a key role for its human leaders who must necessarily meet certain qualifications that help and not hinder God's work in the body. Yet the dysfunction of many men in today's world makes it imperative that church leaders be examples to other men in their personal lives that affect their institutions of marriage, family, government, and church. I was talking with one of the ladies in our church who works as a counselor. She's been trained by the state. She excels, and she pointed out, I was talking with her just yesterday, she pointed out to me that now even secular counselors who may themselves not go to church, they're actually recommending, in many cases, people who are very dysfunctional in their family units and so forth, they go to a church. The reason is not necessarily because they believe in God, but churches are structured, they're consistent, they offer stability, and a lot of these people, they don't have structure, they don't have stability at all in their marriages and their family lives. So there's a tremendous need. And of course, a big problem here is men. Men are not assuming the leadership in their marriages that they're supposed to, or they're not treating their wives properly. They're not taking care of their children, guiding the children. There's a high, very high percentage of young men who go into crime simply because they're not fathered. They don't have dads at home that are teaching and training them and teaching them how to channel the energies and the hormones that God has put within them in the right direction so that they end up being productive in society. So it's absolutely imperative that if the church is this kind of an institution that is important, and in fact, this lady in our church indicated that especially a Christian church like Nepok Church, it's all the more important because family units increasingly are going to be looking to the church for models as to how to function in a family, how to function in a marriage. So it's important, especially for the leaders of the church, to be men who are exemplary. Well, we view the personal life qualifications of 1 Timothy chapter 3, 2 and 3, verses 6 and 7. And when I got done with the lesson tonight, I've got an illustration that comes from what happened. There was a suicide that I performed the ceremony for a man who committed suicide and everything. And this lesson has direct relationship to that whole situation. It's amazing. Let me read the verses and then we'll look at them. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, and then verses 6 and 7. A bishop, actually an overseer, then must be blameless. And then we've already covered the husband of one wife. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, tending to teach. And then we'll skip verse 3. Not given to wine, not a bully, not greedy of dishonest gain, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. And then we'll skip down to verse 6. Not a new convert, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good reputation of them that are without. That's with the unsaved community, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Okay. Paul claimed in 1 Timothy 3:1 that if one desired to serve in the office of the church elder, he desired a kolos work. The word kolos in the Greek means one that is at once seen to be good. In other words, it's immediately seen to be good. Versus the word agathos, that's normally the word for good. And agathos means something that is good by virtue of its results. Now, something that is good might be good, but you might not see it immediately to be good. You can see it in time. But kolos is something that you immediately see as being good. Now, a leader in a church has to be viewed this way. The reason is you've got immature believers, and you have the outside observing world, and they have to view the leaders in the church as immediately being good and qualified. Because if a new or an immature believer comes into the church and he doesn't recognize goodness within the leaders themselves, then he can become very disillusioned. The unsaved world, if they don't view the men who are leading the church as being instantly good, then they can be disillusioned and the entire church's reputation fall down. So the qualities that are mentioned here are qualities that have to be in men who are leaders in the church so that the world and even the weakest believer can see it immediately. So there's no room for, there's no wiggle room here. And this is one reason why sometimes it's difficult to get to people qualifying for the board and so forth, but it's important that we do this. So the following personal life qualifications are essential for church leaders. We've already covered the family life, we've already covered the marital life, now we're covering the personal qualifications, the man himself, his own character. An elder must be irreprehensible. The Greek word is anelpilaptos, and that means affording nothing which an adversary could take hold of on which he might ground a charge. In verse 2a, where it says a bishop must be blameless, it means irreprehensible. There's absolutely nothing that you can look at in his life and immediately point blame at. He's squeaky clean. We use the term squeaky clean. He's absolutely above reproach. There's no question as to what's going on in his life. And that's the first qualification that he has to have. Then an elder must be sober. And the word sober is nephalios, which is relative to wine. And it applies to all substance abuse. The word vigilant, sober, it applies to substance abuse in general, not only to alcohol, we're talking about drugs. Drugs, sadly, is becoming increasingly a problem. There are two different families in our church right now who have either sons or grandsons who are into heavy drugs. We're talking about heroin and cocaine. And it's a tremendous burden on these families, and they're trying to deal with this. And drugs is a huge problem in the city of Torrington right now. The police know it, and what they're trying to do is to find who is the source of all this. And once they do, they're going to arrest everybody all the way down the line. And I know two of the people that they're ending up, they're going to be arrested unless they get off drugs immediately. But it's, in fact, that if you talk to the police and the police officers, they tell you, yeah, we know it's a very bad problem, especially Torrington right now. So it's a huge, huge situation. Well, leaders have to be absolutely squeaky clean when it comes to substance abuse. The first part of verse 3, it says, not given to wine. That means they cannot be addicted to wine. That's a different word, paroinos. Nephalios means they're sober, but paroinos means not addicted to wine. So they can't be addicted to any substance abuse, and he needs to avoid alcoholism or drug addiction. You just can't have drug addicts and alcoholics leading the church. That's not a good example. The unsaved world looks at that and knows it better. An immature Christian coming into the church knows that. So that's just something that is not allowed at all. Then an elder must be moderate or show self-restraint. The 2D, sober. Actually, this is the word sophron. We talked about self-restraint in two or three of the Proverbs that we had in the morning service today. So often when there's a dovetailing with what we do at Sunday nights as well as in the Sunday morning, that's often an emphasis from the Lord. So there has to be self-restraint. This is something a man has to have. Then he must be well-mannered or honorable. In verse 2e, good behavior, this is the word cosmos. We got the word cosmos to mean the ordered universe. Cosmos means to be well-mannered or ordered or honorable. This is a person who is orderly in his life, and he's well-mannered. He's never using words that are of ill repute. He has a way of, when he's leading in front of the church, he's always well-mannered. He's not an embarrassment to the church and so forth. So we have to watch that men be well-mannered and honorable. Then an elder must be hospitable. Philoxenos means someone who is good with strangers. Hospitality, given to hospitality. This was especially important in the early church when you had traveling itinerant evangelists and teachers who would come through. It was the elder who was supposed to put them up. And this develops in our church today. There's an emphasis on meeting the needs of people. And we've got really good men in regards to this. If there's a funeral, the men are very anxious and eager to get flowers for the persons that are involved. If there's a family in the church that has special needs, we have a food pantry back here, and the board is very concerned about that and helping people, and they're watching out. That's what the term hospitality means. Then an elder must be skillful in teaching, didaktikos, means that he has to be not only a teacher, but he's skilled in it. And that's something that apt to teach means he has to have an aptitude for it. Then an elder must not be pugnacious, which means he must not be a bully. The last, not a striker. Now this means someone who is not physically a striker, but let me take this further. I was talking to a Christian recently, and he shared with me that there's a pastor that he knows, a gospel preaching pastor, who makes him feel intimidated. And he says, I don't think I could ever sit under that men's ministry because he says, I feel like I'm bullied, I feel like I'm intimidated. And unfortunately, this is sadly what happens in many evangelical churches. Pastors many times are trained to lead, and their view of leading is getting up and just being the boss and let everybody know it. So you raise your voice and so forth, and it actually intimidates people. That's the last thing God wants from leaders. You can lead without being pugnacious or without being a bully. You can lead by the power of an example. You can lead by just being gentle with people. In fact, some of the best leaders I've ever known, godly men, have been unusually gentle. Dr. Walvoord is president of Dallas Theological Seminary. He's a very kind man. Dr. Willard Aldrich, who is now with the Lord, he was very kind. He was especially kind to me. He was president of Multnomah School of the Bible. Something to keep in mind. Not a bully. And then an elder must rather be gentle, epaiketes, or epiaikes, I'm sorry. That's the word gentle. That's the opposite of being a bully. Not given to wine, not a striker, not greedy of dishonest gain, actually, but patient. That means gentle. And an elder must be peaceable. That means amoxos. He should not be argumentative. And then an elder must not be greedy, not loving money, aphilargos. Philargos is money or loving money. Phil means to love, and argos is money. Aphilargos means, the alpha privative means it's not loving money. And then an elder must not be a new convert. The Greek word in verse 6 is a neophyte, neophutos. It means lest he be lifted up with pride for his sudden elevation to church leadership and fall into the condemnation of the devil, who was also lifted up with pride and leading to his fall. We know from Isaiah chapter 14, 12 to 14, Satan was lifted up with pride. Well, a man, this is one reason why we shouldn't have a new a Christian as an elder. He might be qualified in a lot of areas, but he has to have enough maturity to recognize that the church doesn't start and end with him. He's just a servant of the Lord. It's really important to have a man who's humble, and that means a man who's been around enough and knows that his feet are clay, just like anybody else, and he's a human being. And so he recognizes he still has room to grow. So not a new convert, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And then finally, this is verse 7. An elder must have a testimony that is kolos before the lost world, one that is at once seen to be good, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil, lest Satan disgrace him and through him the church before a watching world. You must have a good report of them that are without side. One of the things we check for before we have a man come on the board as a deacon or even as an elder, We check out what are his financial dealings like in the community. Is he known for being a cheater or someone who shortchanges people in the community? We don't want that kind of a man representing the church. Is he fair in his dealings with people? Does he have a good reputation? What does the world think of him? It's very, very important. So the lesson is to be seen at once, to be upright by all onlookers, even immature believers in the lost world. Local church elders and all church leaders by application should be irreprehensible, free of substance abuse, self-restrained, well-mannered, hospitable, skillful in teaching, not a bully, but gentle, peaceable, not greedy, not a new convert, nor having a bad reputation before the world. So may we men get qualified in these realms for our personal lives to serve as local church leaders. And may we all strive by God's leading and power to see that these qualities are developed in our lives. Now, I was going to close with the illustration. I want to share it with you. As many of you know, I conducted a funeral for a police officer who passed away, a Hartford police officer. He was a relative of someone in our church. He died by means of suicide. Now, there were problems, there were stresses and so forth, but one of the major stresses in his life was a church situation. He had been in a church situation with his wife. They were heavily involved in the church, but the pastor was involved. He was sort of a self-centered man. He was sort of a bullish guy running the church and everything, and it created friction within the church. To make a very long story short, the church imploded on itself and ceased existing. And this officer and his wife dropped out. They were hurt by this really badly. They dropped out of church altogether. So there was no support base there at all. Now, if there had been at least a strong support base from the church, it possibly could have gone a long way towards mitigating the circumstances so that hopefully the man might still be alive today. But when I considered this and I thought on it, I thought, wow, what a responsibility for those of us who are leaders. I was talking to Dave Slate, our board chairman, about this, you know, after the, around the time of the funeral, maybe just afterward, I forget. The tremendous responsibility that we have. If you've got a world out there that is full of dysfunction in marriages, in family life, and so forth, and they're going to start coming into the church looking for help, at least the leaders of the church have got to have their act together as far as their lives, the pastor especially. And I took this to heart, a real lesson for me. You know, I was talking about the sermon this morning, how when we see good and bad things happen in others' lives, how we need to use it as a signpost in our own lives. So I'm taking this as a signpost in my own life. The Lord was indicating, Don, make sure you keep your personal life, your family life, your married life, and so forth, keep it in order. Because as time goes on, more and more people who are suffering from tremendous dysfunction in their lives are going to be looking to the church and to you and to the other board members as examples. And if you're not a good example, you know, you can actually do more damage than good, like this other pastor situation. So I took the lesson from what happened, and I thought, you know, I know there were lots of causes that were involved in this. You can point a finger at a lot of things that were involved. But certainly one of the mitigating circumstances was this church situation, the implosion, and it started with the pastor who didn't function like he was supposed to function as a proper church elder. So I'm going to make a commitment to you that as God gives me the strength and the wisdom, I'm going to take this lesson seriously in my own life and apply it and really seek to examine and evaluate where I'm coming from constantly to be proper before the Lord. But you know, the rest of us can do the same. I mean, these are qualifications for elders, and they're supposed to be examples for the rest of the body, but they're also qualifications that all of us, men and women, boys and girls, can aim for to see that the Lord develop them in our lives.